You gotta put it in
perspective. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and eat meat in it. Hallelujah. I'm on my way to church this morning.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Let's talk about what happens in your body when you consume alcohol. One or two drinks can impair your reasoning and emotions, which means you can decide to do some dumb things like drink more. As more alcohol is consumed in the body, your vision and speech are impaired, as well as your reflexes and balance. Alcohol is a drug and it affects your brain, your heart, your lungs.
Excuse me, Ms. Renee. Can I just interrupt you for 1 second, please?
Dr. Drew called me unfixable.
And now.
Hey, Allie. Just watched your movie. Wanted to see if you wanted to see my perky presenter.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning, the 23rd of August.
What's up, fam?
What's popping?
Right.
As P would say.
Got nothing for either of you right now.
Well, you're just too white to play. That's the problem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You're not in the streets like Kevin and I are with the very hip lingo, right?
Obviously.
I mean, straight out of 1983 hip lingo. Guys, I'm serious about this ukulele thing. Now, I know you're going to mock me.
Oh, dear.
I've been getting good response from the listeners, including some who play the ukulele, who say that it is a relatively easy instrument to learn and that it is very relaxing.
Right.
And fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's a ton of YouTube tutorials, although I've had some listeners that have even offered to help me.
Wow.
Offered to help me.
That's nice.
But I'm worried about, you know, anytime you start a new hobby – you know, you're worried about just wasting your time. You know, I don't want to get 3 weeks in and go, well, this is dumb, and then give up, and then I'm out $40 for a ukulele. Then what?
Ugh, right?
Right?
I was just going to say go for an inexpensive one, and Bean's like, $40.
I don't want to waste that $40.
I'm just saying that's probably not a lot, and if it gives you a shot at joy, why not?
Yeah.
But then I just put it down, and then I just add that to the long, long list of things that make me feel like a failure. You know what I mean?
Well, it's good you're not sabotaging it
right
away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this is why I'm struggling with this, because on the one hand, I see the upside of being the guy who can play a ukulele, because
at all those parties.
What's that upside?
think about all the times that'll come in handy.
Sure.
Well, I mean,
in your house.
Well, for instance, you're at an event. I can't imagine right now what kind of an event.
You're not at an event, but go ahead.
Okay, but all right. Let's say I'm on a plane then.
Okay.
And the pilot comes on
and
goes, excuse me, Pastor, sorry to interrupt your movie, but is there anyone on the plane who plays the ukulele?
Right.
Boom!
Right?
I'm the guy.
That's probably happened to me 10 times.
It's a great example.
All right. Put it in the file. But I'm just saying that would be a nice skill to have in my back pocket, just like it'd be great if I could speak Spanish. You know
right.
what I mean? It's just something it's equally useful. It's something that it'd be nice to add to my list of contributions to the world. That's
right,
all.
Sure.
But I think if there's a chance it will bring you any joy for any amount of time, just do it.
That's what I'm saying. Give it a try.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, it doesn't. You'll be
fine. Yeah.
Ukulele it up.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Wow, are you stupid?
Hey, I'm talking it through here.
I don't know where that came from.
It through here. All right, so that's a vote yes. Now, Chip, let me ask you this. In Well-Flung Fart, do you guys need a ukulele player as a sideman in your band?
Bean, if you learn ukulele, you are in.
I love it.
All right.
I would pay any amount of money to see that.
That is going to change the sound of your group, though, I'll tell you that. I don't see you as being a ukulele-based band, but...
I don't know, man. Just learn.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys have pumped me up now. Maybe I'll think about it.
All right.
All right. Do we have
so
time
we've,
for the...
got, we've gotten to you. We've gotten you to the point where you might think about it.
Think about it. Yes. Right. Yeah, I'm not committing.
Okay.
Obviously.
All right.
All right. Here's the thing. Why...
Do we have time for the thing?
I don't think so now. After hearing the start.
Is there any level of interest whatsoever in the room in going to a drive-in movie theater.
Absolutely. It's funny you should mention that.
No.
Really?
I have never been to one. And when I was in Maine, there's one on the route to my parents' house. And I was like, I want to go. And my parents were like, why?
Right, exactly.
So lame. But they were playing Ant-Man. And I was like, I should go. And then I didn't.
The only people that want to go are the people who haven't gone.
Right. I've never gone. I've never had one near me. Or.
But why do you say that, Kevin? Because think about how many positives there are to going to a drive-in movie theater.
Okay. Like, I mean, bringing your own food, maybe?
That could be one. Right? Mm-hmm. Not having to worry about people sitting next to you in the theater and talking, for instance. Being able to, you know, just spread out and be comfortable.
You can neck in the back seat with Fonzie.
I hadn't thought of that.
If you want to old school, yeah. Being able to go with your wife and be able to chat with her during the movie.
But why are you going to a movie if you want to chat?
Because the same way you chat with your wife when you're watching television. It's a more of a communal experience that could be fun. Here's why I bring it up. Is I saw an article today about a city in Virginia called Stephen City, maybe Stephen City, which looks like how it's spelled. But it is one of only 300 drive-in theaters still in operation in the United States. By the way, in the 1960s, there were over 4,000 drive-in movie theaters.
A lot of those went away because they blow.
I think you have a very negative attitude about this.
Here's one of my problems. I love the sound of the movie. Mm-hmm. This is a little tiny speaker that sits in your window. But or see, you tune in on your radio to a little crappy.
They haven't been in years. What makes you think they haven't upgraded that? For instance, this theater, owner Jim Coop says he has added contemporary features like FM stereo sound and digital projection to make it a good experience, audio and video.
Do you keep your car running?
No.
Well, see, that's why I didn't go, because it was so hot in Maine. And I didn't want to sit
there
and sweat.
Another negative.
Yeah.
And by the way, just because you don't doesn't mean other people are following the rules either.
Oh.
Getting out, slamming the door, going back to get some popcorn.
Kevin, you're ruining this experience.
I'm just saying it's not a good experience.
You are Mr. Negative on this, dude. You can go and tailgate, have a cookout if you want with your friends while you're watching a movie.
Because you want to get to a movie 4 hours early?
Pound some beers.
I'm saying during the movie you could. You can make it a dinner and a movie thing. Cook up some steaks or something while you're watching your film.
That's not distracting to the car behind you.
Two movies at this
roasting
theater.
Roasting marshmallows now? What's going on
what
with
are
that?
They doing? This is a movie.
two movies, by the way. Two films cost $8 at this theater.
Wow.
Two movies. Double feature for $8.
Wait, hold on. Guess. It blows.
Wow.
Cheapen the price.
Debbie Downer.
Seriously? I'm just saying, maybe there's a reason it's $8.
Kids get it half price. You're welcome to bring your dog.
Excellent.
By the way, another awesome thing about it.
Sure.
Roll down the window, get a little fresh air.
Right.
If the weather cooperates.
Sure. And if the weather doesn't cooperate?
Well, you don't. I mean, you don't go if
it's
pouring,
a sucky night.
Pouring rain or snowing or something like that.
Oh,
you
that would
don't
be
go.
Romantic.
You lost me. You don't go.
This movie theater alley also features waitresses on roller skates who glide through the crowd serving concessions.
Fun, like Ruby Tuesdays.
Like the movie Grease.
Or that.
And
sock hops. No.
People interviewed in the article say, hey, you know, I've never seen this in real life, but I remember it from the movie Grease. This is so fun.
Okay.
So another man who loaded up his 1968 Bronco truck with his family to go see Black Panther. It felt like a special occasion, a night out with the family.
Great car.
I'm just telling you, I like everything about this, you guys. I would go to
You're
a drive-in
not
theater.
Gonna go, though.
I would go to a drive-in theater. I would, because I don't like the, you know, being around all the people in the theater and stuff like that. And this way you're by yourself, in my case, because no one would go with me, in a car, enjoying yourself while you're watching the movie.
Ew.
Right?
You didn't have to say that.
Right?
Not like that.
Disgusting.
You just said enjoying yourself.
You just said by myself, enjoying myself,
right?
Watching a movie. Like, we don't need to know that.
Right?
Because I'm
That's
having
why.
God damn it.
That's why, because Bean thinks he won't get arrested.
Right.
True fact.
In his
nothing,
car.
Nothing here that says you need to wear pants when you go. So I'm just saying, as a suggestion, why Netflix and chill when you can go to a drive-in movie theater and really turn it into a special occasion? That's what I'm saying.
Have
like
at
Kevin,
it, man. Have
Kevin's
at
in.
It.
Sounds like Allie's in.
You have a great time.
And I can practice the ukulele while I'm watching the movie.
Ew, is that what you're calling it? Disgusting.
We already told you. Don't tell us that. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
So, so tell me, like, how this story, is this based on real life?
Dr. Drew stops by on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. Always love talking to him. You injured your own junk.
Oh.
I don't know. Should we post the video or no? The video's pretty.
Well, the photo.
Even the photo blows.
Yeah.
Photo's enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not hard to injure your own junk. I'm telling
true.
You. When you're practicing your ukulele.
You have to limit the amount of time that you're practicing, Beat.
Right. Strong, exactly. Softer.
Dumb pet names on the show today?
How dare you? I feel that's directly at me.
Please.
Totally is.
Our friend Jensen Karp is going to be in studio with Get Up On This.
Nice.
He says he's bringing a guest with him today,
right?
Too.
A brand new internet roundup on the program today. And John Cho, who's done a movie called Searching.
Holy crap.
That is so good.
I saw on Twitter last night, Kevin, that you said you sent it. So I'm excited to hear what you thought of it.
Did I say I sent it?
No, you sent it. So you didn't see it. You sent it. Which could be past tense to some people. Pastor. I mean,
Dave's an I seen guy. Yeah. Dave's an I seen that. Ugh. Right?
Did you guys see earlier? Did you guys see earlier in the day when I posted my people are dumb story?
No.
And misspelled. Which word would you guess?
Oh, I hope it was dumb.
It was dumb.
But you could have played it off.
It was D-U-M-H.
What?
Got no idea.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Yeah, it is. And Allie is here with our first look at what's happening on a Thursday.
See a lot of Bazinga tweets and Bazingon tweets.
I sure did. They couldn't wait to get to that, could they?
I don't know what that is. Well, you'll get it once I tell you that Warner Brothers Television and CBS announced yesterday that The Big Bang Theory will end its run in May of 2019. Sad bassoon indeed.
I was so surprised by this news. I know it's been on for 12 years, but isn't it in the top 5 of TV shows on television?
I think it's usually one or two.
I thought it was that successful still.
Yeah, still.
Who walks away from the biggest show on TV except for Roseanne?
Seinfeld.
Okay.
Seinfeld for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is odd, though. It will be the longest running multi-camera TV series in history. The show debuted in 2007, has earned 52 Emmy nominations, 10 wins. And like Bean said, it will end after 12 seasons with 279 episodes under its belt. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they backed the Brinks truck up to these actors. Who said no?
I don't know. You would think it would have to be one of the two or three main people, and then they all just said no. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is very odd, but in an Instagram post, Kaley Cuoco said that regardless when the sitcom wrapped up, quote, my heart would have always been broken in two. So if it would have been last year, this year, whenever, maybe she just didn't want to end it. But she also included a photo of the cast along with her post, adding that she and her colleagues are going out with a bang. Because it's the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. I'm going to add that show, and I'm sure you have this list as well, to shows that you admire and that you think are quality, but you never watch them.
Have some time for it?
Yep.
Okay.
It's a good show. Yeah. Good show. I just don't watch it. Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, people love it.
There's one thing wrong with it, if I could say so.
Okay.
Is that the one that has the bad laugh track?
I don't know.
I think that's a lot of
Some of them are more offensive than others. I'm not positive that's the one, though. I'm going to do some research. I'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Glad to help.
Well, I'm sure that Bean had his Taylor Swift little sensor feelings. What?
Google alert?
Thank you. Sure, your Google alert went off. When you heard that her Reputation Stadium Tour is now the highest grossing U.S. tour by a woman. That's excluding residencies. This is according to Billboard Box Score. Across the 27 domestic dates that have been reported so far, she's brought in $191 million with an additional $11.1 million earned in Canada.
Wow.
She can sell out any stadium in this country, for sure.
Apparently. You have to think that the person that held the record previously has to be pissed, though. Oh, no, that was Taylor Swift.
She beat her own record?
She beat her own record, which was the 1989 World Tour. $181.5 million. domestically in 2015. That that worldwide haul of mm-hmm. that $250.7 million.
Wow.
Wowzers.
I think there are some performers like Taylor, like Beyonce, who just have a reputation. U2 is another one who just have a reputation for putting on a stadium-filling show
right.
with lots of things going on. And
right.
it's, yeah. it's worth seeing in person, I guess.
Yeah. Coldplay, U2, mm-hmm. for sure.
Very few bands, though, or artists. Very few.
Right. Right. Well, Idris Elba, again, says no. And now I think he's really getting annoyed.
So now he's saying no for real?
No for reals. while attending the premiere of his new film, Yardie, he, of course, was repeatedly asked if he would succeed Daniel Craig. Secede. What? Daniel Craig as 007. I'm going to have some coffee after this, guys. And he couldn't have been clearer, repeatedly just saying no and then leaving the conversation. Then the next reporter would ask him, no, and he would go on to the next one. Today also aired footage from a sit-down where he was pressed about it, and he said, I don't want to talk about it. Honestly, let's leave it.
No! I mean, it has nothing to do with his life. It's just something that has just enveloped him now that he can't get out of, and he should just say, asked and answered.
Exactly. But I didn't know that he previously said on NPR, and I found this interesting, he didn't want to do it because he didn't want race to be the focus of it, because, of course, he'd be the first black James Bond. Mm-hmm. And he said, Sean Connery wasn't the Scottish James Bond, and Daniel Craig wasn't the blue-eyed James Bond. So if I played him, I don't want to be called the black James Bond.
Is he a racist?
I believe yes. that's what we're saying, ma'am. That is exactly what we're saying. I can't imagine, though, that every work you do from now on, that will be the first question people ask
you. Yeah, that would be super annoying.
He's at the premiere of his new movie.
Yeah.
Show about James Bond. I would probably lose my mind.
Absolutely.
Also, I'd be like, why do you want me in James Bond? Some birthdays for you guys. Friend of the show, Jay Moore, Kobe Bryant, Dean DeLeo, and Julian Casablancas. And that's what's happening.
Hey, Chip, you're friends with guys in The Offspring.
Yes.
Will they ever make another album? Ever?
They are working on one.
I feel like doesn't it seem like it's been years?
It's been a minute. But okay. they've been doing a lot of summer touring, but I think they're working on something.
Use your considerable influence and get us some new
Offspring. She's not their manager.
Well, she could still put a bug in their ear. That's
okay.
All I'm saying.
All right.
Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate you so much listening. Get up on this with our friend Jensen Karp and a special guest coming in just after 7. Dr. Drew on the program later as well. Do we have Miss Christine Fung?
Yes.
We do, yes.
Assistant producer of the Kevin and Bean Show. Yesterday, somehow your pet frog, Froggy, came up.
Well, you guys were talking about the frog being held hostage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
So I was just mentioning that I also had a pet frog.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's an unusual pet for a college student, by the way, to have a frog in the dorm.
He was a birthday present.
Oh, not even your choice.
Okay. No, he was adorable.
And okay. Your frog's name?
Froggy.
Mm. Sure.
It's creative. I'll give you that.
And how were there other names in consideration, or the minute you saw him, you said, damn, he looks like a froggy?
I mean, I think it was like a split set. Like, I knew immediately. You know, mm-hmm. like with the baby, you're like, that's
very similar.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. I keep babies in a terrarium, too. So perfect. So froggy, and you stuck with that. After you had the initial thought, you went ahead and kept it.
Yeah, yeah. I had just it for a couple years.
I just like to suggest that mm-hmm. the one person that shouldn't be making fun
Amen.
Of Christine
Amen.
Is Bean.
I'm Agreed. Not making fun of. I'm just trying to establish just a chain of custody here. I'm just
I
trying
see.
To understand how it all happened. All right, Dave, our producer, King of Mexico, your early childhood dog was named what?
My first dog was a Doberman, and his name was Boy.
Here, boy.
Here, boy.
No. Hey, boy.
So anytime That's... anyone said that, the dog ran to them?
Yep.
Wow.
Jumped over gates.
It was indeed a male?
It was.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. All right.
That's not a given, considering
it
Dave.
It is not.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I had a boy.
I didn't name it.
I had a boy pig named Daisy because I had the name before I had the pig, so he was Daisy.
Yeah, see, that's just, the weird
kidding.
Thing.
That's weird.
Bean has a lot of names for pets that are really bizarre. But he also has, like, an on-deck circle where he's got mm-hmm. names that are piling up that he doesn't have pets for yet.
Okay.
Dave, after Boy, then what?
Oh, my! I had Speck from Pee-wee. From
Speck.
Wait, can, yeah, you,
from
can you
from Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Enunciate that one?
Speck.
Okay.
Okay, good.
He wasn't calling anyone names.
Okay. Checking. All right.
Yeah.
Pee-wee had a pet named Speck?
Yeah, in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's an awesome name.
Yeah, so the dog I had looked like it, so it was awesome. Then I had Bandit, and now I have Rhonda Ruffy.
Why Bandit?
Because it had a brown patch over its eye. So, it's a little cute dog.
Awesome.
Yeah. And now Rhonda Ruffy.
All right. And Rhonda Ruffy is an awesome name, Kevin. Don't you agree?
No.
Oh, yeah. Uh-uh. How can you not?
No, it's I love so the dog. Clever. The dog's super cute, but Rhonda Ruffy's dumb.
It's an awesome name.
It's an awesome name.
I thought you asked my opinion.
Well, your opinion's
wrong.
Your
dog. Yeah. Look, Dave loves Rhonda Rousey. We all do.
Same.
And it's a tie-in. And
I get the tie-in.
You don't understand. He right. named the dog Rhonda Ruffy because of Rhonda Rousey.
Sure.
Oh, what? Oh. It's a pun.
Yeah, I'm not a big pun fan.
I think he's
Kevin,
getting it now.
You've had some dogs in recent years. What have you named yours?
I have, but I really don't have wacky names.
Mm-mm. Well, they don't have to be wacky.
One of them was named Boots because he had little he was brown and had little white feet.
Oh,
that's
some
cute,
reason.
Kevin.
So named a book Boots.
All right.
And then we had a dog named Allie.
Wow, really?
Before I ever met Allie.
So do we.
Yeah. Oh!
It was long before
I ever even met her. I don't know how we came up with the name, but
that's fine, Kevin. You don't have to apologize. You made it awkward, really.
Yeah. And then I had a dog named Dave, the King of Mexico. That was
coincidence.
I don't remember any others.
I used to have a cat named Ralph, by the way, before I knew our friend Ralph Garman.
Okay.
That's what he said. Because, you want to know why?
Yes.
Because that's what his meow sounded like. Ralph. Ralph. So it sounded like he was saying Ralph, so I named the cat Ralph.
Gosh.
Why is that a terrible name?
You know, you're the one making fun of the fact that I had a frog named Froggy.
Yes.
He is. He sounded like he was saying Ralph, so we named him Ralph.
I mean, okay, at least there's logic there. All right.
Yes.
What else you got?
Well, we've had a number of animals throughout the years, as
sure.
you know. We had a little bit of a rescue farm where we took in a bunch of different sorts of animals.
So he throws in rescue farm so people feel a little bad, like, that's a good dude. Right. Now he's going to tell you the names.
We had a rabbit named Tastes Like Chicken, for obvious reasons.
Wow. That's the official name.
His name was Tastes Like Chicken.
Was there a short, did you say, hey, Tastes Like Chicken, come here?
Yes. That was
you didn't
name.
Shorten it? Hey, Taste?
No, it was just Tastes Like Chicken.
Odd. Okay.
And by the way, I have no idea whether that's true or not. It's just a thing that people say. He lived a long and fulfilling life. Oh, they don't?
No.
We also had another rabbit named Snowball because he was a little pure white little bunny, Snowball.
Like Donald Trump likes, right?
We had a guinea pig named Bedhead, which, by the way, is a perfect name for him because he was one of those guinea pigs that just had a big mass of hair that just stuck up on the top of his head. Like it looks like when you wake up in the morning, your hair is everywhere.
All right, you're telling us all the ones that make sense. I'd like to get into the wacky ones.
We also had a guinea pig named Wheat Wheat.
Okay, what?
Wheat Wheat.
Wheat?
Mm-hmm. Because that's the noise he made. Wheat Wheat. Wheat Wheat. Wheat. So we named him Wheat Wheat. We had another guinea pig named Frito.
Frito.
He smelled like Fritos?
No, because he was a free to a good home.
Oh my God. See, now so right there, we just stepped over
Frito.
A line.
His name was Frito because he was free to a good home.
Right. We just stepped over a line of
that. What are you talking about?
Just saying. What's next?
We had a turtle named Moesha, as you know. I was a huge fan of the great Brandi Norwood, the singer and actress, back when that show was on in the 90s. Moesha.
And that pet reminded you of her?
No, it was a tribute to an actress and singer that I was a fan of. Just like Rhonda Ruffy doesn't look anything like Rhonda Rousey, but Dave's a fan. We had turtles named Spot, Elmo, Anna. We had a millipede named Ahmed. You remember Ahmed.
Now, why'd you name him Ahmed?
Why do you have a millipede?
He had a millipede, first of all, an odd pet. Second of all, named it Ahmed.
I loved Ahmed, first of all. And I got out of the millipede. I got out of the millipede business because they don't live long enough. You get very attached to them and they die like
because they really
months.
They really play a lot with you and you can really get attached to them.
No, but you
them.
Can put a millipede. Jesus. You can put, like my tarantula
Taste
Fluffy.
The ball,
same thing. You can put him on your hand and he can run up and down your arm and stuff like that.
Oh,
you remember
that
Fluffy? Haven't you met Fluffy?
Sure.
He was adorable. Fluffy got killed in the San Francisco earthquake, by the way.
Wait, Fluffy was the spider that was dead?
He died in the earthquake.
He's been dead. He was dead.
in 1989.
All right. What was the one I saw?
That was Fluffy.
Fluffy was dead.
Yeah, because I had Fluffy in Phoenix, too.
Never moved. Dead. He never moved.
He didn't move a lot.
I was there with Bean. I was like, Bean, show me where he moved, because he was right there a year ago. He's dead.
He didn't move much.
Ever.
He did that.
He was dead. Go ahead.
We had another millipede named Zeke. We had two millipedes named Jane.
Now, why did you name both Jane?
One died, and then we replaced her with another one named Jane. We had
insensitive toward the first one. That's all I'm saying.
We had hedgehogs named Murray. He was my first hedgehog, and I love Murray. And then we had another one named Miracle. She was adorable. We had sheep named Habibi.
Habibi. Yes. Why?
Habibi, if I remember correctly, Donna named her, is Arabic for sweetheart.
Okay.
That's Popo. Did you say Popo?
We had Popo, yeah.
Is that named after the police?
Donna named her, too. I don't remember what Popo was.
But after was the great Kevin Federline, Popo Zell?
We had two sheep that we rescued at the same time that we named after Queen Elizabeth and her husband. So their names were Philip and Elizabeth.
Dumb.
We had another sheep named Milagro. We had a buffalo named Buffy. That one's for you, Christine.
Oh.
That's right there like Froggy.
Yeah,
that's
right. We named her Buffy.
I also had a puppy named Puppy, but
I had a cat. I had a cat named Puppy.
Oh,
as a matter of fact,
this is ridiculous.
We had a dog named God rest her, the best dog I ever had. She lived to be 15 years old. We got her from the L.A. Animal Shelter. Her name was Camfong S. Chin Ho.
Now I'm trying to explain that one because we've kind of got to go out on that one. And by the way, did you use that whole name when you called her?
Oh, yeah. Well, so occasionally we would just call her Chin Ho or Chin Chin. But yeah, her name was Camfong S. Chin Ho.
Because
Hawaii Five-O, as you know, is one of my favorite shows of all time.
Right.
And the character, one of Steve McGarrett's chief men, was named Chin Ho. But he was played by the great Hawaiian actor Camfong.
Mm-hmm.
So in the credits, it would say Camfong S. Chin Ho.
And so you go through all the credits looking for pet names?
No, but it struck out because he was one of my favorite characters, and I loved Hawaii Five-O. We had Santa's Little Helper, who was another dog, which, by the way, I'm sure you respect that name because you're a Simpsons fan. That's the Simpsons dog, Santa's Little Helper. And I bet there are a lot of Santa's Little Helpers around the world. Right?
Sure.
We had Atomic Dog, named after the George Clinton song.
I don't hate it.
Allie, you respect that.
That's pretty strong. I don't hate that one.
Yeah.
I know we don't have much time, but I had a lot of other pets. We had Tater Tot, and we had Veruca, and we had Yum Yum, and we had Linus, and then we had all of our cows. We had Hay, and we had Buttercup, and we had Betsy, and then we had our donkey Happy.
Sure.
And pets named Dinner, huh?
Dave.
Why would you hurt him like that?
We were having fun.
I just like to toss out one I found on the internet that our listeners might be interested in. That's Dave Growl.
That's a good dog's name.
Just tossing it out there if anybody wants to use it. Get up on this with our friend Jensen Karp coming up just after 7 o'clock here on the world-famous K-Rock. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
That means it's Alley time. What's happening?
So this Top Gun Maverick movie seems to be shaping up to be quite the cast, right? We know Miles Teller, Jennifer Connelly, Glenn Powell, Val Kilmer. But, just added, John Hamm.
Oh, wow.
Ed Harris.
Wow.
And then son of actor Bill Pullman will be Lewis Pullman. So, okay. Hmm. All right.
Interesting.
Yeah, details on their roles are being kept a mystery, but Top Gun Maverick will open July 12th of next year.
How did Tom Cruise get to be the biggest movie star in the world again?
It did seem like he was just kind of off the radar for a bit, had some real poopers.
He came
movies.
Back with some great movies. That's
yeah.
How.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And by the way, and I know we say this about other actors, he's such a superstar that I think we lose sight of the fact sometimes that he's a really talented actor.
Yeah, agreed.
Mm-hmm. He's really good. I mean, there's a reason he's been nominated for a bunch of Oscars. He's really good.
Take it easy.
I know.
We're all agreeing with you.
No one's saying they don't like him.
Why are you fighting me on this?
Again, not. No. You guys, Forbes does this, and I usually love these lists. Except in the last year, Forbes has been doing this thing where you can't just get the top 10, top 100 list, whatever. You have to go through and click on each individual one as a slideshow.
Oh, that's
but
so annoying.
But then pop-ups come up, and then you go to click again, and then it's like, your browser is, it's just bad.
Stop it.
Stop it. stop it, is what I'm saying to Forbes, because I like your list, but I'm just going to delete them if you keep this BS up.
Yeah.
Well, that'll show them.
That'll show them,
but
right?
But if Forbes out of business.
If they do have a top 100 and you have to click through the whole thing, that's ridiculous.
They ought to give you the option to see all on one page.
But then they won't get the clicks. That's their whole
exactly.
point of doing it.
But they're
it.
Not going to get them if they're too annoying.
That is
at the
true,
same time.
Kevin. It's
what is their most recent list about?
Quite a conundrum there. The list is highest paid actors in 2017.
Last year, highest paid actors.
Yes, highest paid actors. I will say this. There are a couple names on here that you will not get unless you're really into Bollywood, which I don't know if you are.
Oh, no.
But so just...
Now, we just had the female list and had Scarlett Johansson at number one, I recall. Right?
No, wasn't it Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
Yes.
Because
I think that list was what they're worth.
That was their net worth. Okay.
Yeah, so, and even the actresses below them where they had deals with whatever.
Right.
They weren't just for the money that they got from movies.
Right.
Well, I am going to say that there is no doubt, because I know we talked about the story of George Clooney selling his liquor company, that he is number one because he made like $100 million or something off of it.
Yeah, he has made more money than any other actor has ever. Between June 1st, 2017 and June 1st, 2018, Clooney made $239 million in 1 year.
But he has to look like that, and he has to be married to that ugly lady.
Right.
That's insane.
It's unfathomable.
I'm shocked by that because I forgot about the
Casamigos.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I was thinking The Rock has to be, he did 50 movies.
The Rock came in at number two with an estimated $124 million.
Doesn't it surprise you that he still does a dinky little Sunday night HBO show when he can make that kind of money in movies?
He sort of does everything, doesn't he?
Really he really does. Yeah. Any other guesses?
Sure.
He's nuts. He's nuts just out of the top 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about Tom Cruise? Since
Tom
we're just
Cruise
talking about him.
Is not in the top 10.
How about any of the...
He may not have had a movie last year.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. How about any of the... Maybe this isn't fair, but there are so many of them. How about any of the Chris's? Your Pratt's and your Evans and
you
your...
You can't take a whole category of
I'm
first names.
I'm just saying they're all the same.
I will say two Chris's
pick
are
one.
On this list.
You got to pick one, though.
All right, Chris Pratt.
Not on this list.
Chris, which one is Captain America? Is that Evans?
It is Evans.
Yes.
And he comes in at number 10 with $34 million.
Oh, that's nothing. $34 million?
Right?
George Clooney wipes his butt with that.
What a loser.
That's so much.
Any other Chris guesses?
Who's the other one? Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth came in at number 4 with $64.5 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. came in at number 3.
Yes.
Way to go, Kevin. Yeah.
Thank you.
$81 million.
What about Denzel Washington, who makes a lot of movies and is well paid?
What about not top 10?
Oh.
Yeah. Want me to just go through the top 10?
I mean, if you want to. Bean and I could guess them all, but if you want to.
One more guess.
Stay on until 11, maybe.
Yeah. One more guess.
No, go ahead and read it.
All right. Chris Evans, like you said, came in at number 10 with $34 million. Number 9 was a Bollywood actor named Salman Khan, $38.5
just going to say that.
Were you?
Mm.
Totally. Number 8, Adam Sandler, $39.5.
Wow.
Had a lot to do with his big Netflix deal that he
made.
Wow.
Hold on. I don't think he does any movies other than the Netflix deal now. I don't even think he does them for the theater anymore.
Well, and he also has his production company and everything.
That's
so.
Very recent, though, B.
Yeah.
Hasn't it, like, been a year or something like that?
Yeah.
I think it's been like 3 or 4 years since he's been doing Netflix movies. I know they're hits. I know people watch them.
Number 7, another Bollywood actor, Akshay Kumar, $40.5 million. Number 6, Will Smith.
Will Smith,
$42 million.
Me neither.
Number 5, Jackie Chan.
Wouldn't have thought of him either.
Jackie Chan.
Okay.
$45.5 million.
Is that mostly overseas? That's Asia movies?
Yeah. Okay. Number 4, Chris Hemsworth with $64.5 million. And Robert Downey Jr. came in at 3. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, number 2. And like we mentioned, George Clooney. $239 million in 1 year. Unbelievable.
That is crazy.
I mean, Chris Evans, step it up. $34 million in a
really?
Year.
Really? Why do you
Come
bother
on.
Going to work?
Why bother? Seriously. Some birthdays for you. Julian Casablancas. Dean DeLeo. Kobe Bryant. And Jay Moore. Not sure why I'm pausing and looking at you like you're going to have a response.
I don't know what's happening.
That's what's happening.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:06.
All right, Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer, back in the studio. How are you, sir?
You know,
good. He's good.
Dave went to the Dodgers last night. He's a little depressed.
Yeah.
The rough patch right now for the boys in blue, you guys. Rough patch. He is here because it's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. How long has it been since we've heard this old school theme from our friend Linda Polly?
That is the kind of kind of the high quality entertainment you come to expect over the years from this program. There are a couple that I just want to mention that we're not going to play audio from. You can't because I couldn't pick a good 15 seconds out of the honest trailers for Deadpool 2 because it's all so perfect.
It's Ryan Reynolds.
It's Ryan Reynolds.
It's crazy good.
If you love the sensibility of Deadpool, you have to watch that. And Allie, we put in your American Vandal season 2 trailer because you're so excited about that.
It's going to be the best. I can't wait.
We do have a couple to spotlight. First of all, you don't watch a lot of MSNBC, Kevin, because you're a kid.
Right.
But the Reverend Al Sharpton, who's one of those guys who looks ridiculous being so skinny. He needs to put the weight back on. He was talking about some of the revelations in Omarosa. Former White House Donald Trump staffer Omarosa has the number one book on the New York Times bestseller list right now, by the way.
Wow.
I wouldn't give Omarosa $1 of my money. I mean, honestly, if she had the key to Fort Knox, I still wouldn't pay her.
I would.
Then. Here's Al Sharpton, though, and he had an interesting comment about her. Listen up.
Sometimes the dog bites back with a book deal. And while we're talking about female canines, you know what they say about payback? It's a real... Well, I'm sure you know the word I'm thinking of. So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Oh, no.
The next time you get a black woman and a beagle confused, remember this. I got you.
Okay, so... thing A is the president called her a dog on Twitter. That's what he's mad about. Thing two, could we hear his spelling of the word respect again, please?
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that proves your point, man. Rev. That's sorry about awesome. That. All right, I hate this guy, and I hate the fact that he exists, but he appears to be wearing a security guard outfit. He's in front of his computer. He goes by the name Paul Flart on Instagram.
Sure.
Excuse me, Paul Fart. Is it Paul Fart or Flart?
No, it's Flart.
It is Paul Flart, yeah. And he decided why, I don't know. Omar would appreciate it.
Because
that's
awesome.
That every time he needed to fart, he was going to document it by filming it in front of his computer at work. So it's just a montage of, well, you'll get the idea.
Let's just see his face after each one.
Okay, that's plenty. I don't think we need... Okay, we can. You
fart a lot. Hold on, this is my favorite part.
Okay, thanks. So,
yeah.
So every day or two or three times a day, when he feels one coming on, he goes, oh, I got to run and get in front of my computer.
That was probably all one day.
Yeah, and this is why this is the best Instagram account to follow, because you see it, it's 6 seconds, and then move on.
But if you've seen one, Dave, why do you ever need to see another
one? Are you kidding? Did you hear the vast variety
right?
that he's given you?
What a range that guy
has. Yes.
Guys, we may be at peak internet. It may be time to start shutting some of it down.
Not as what I'm saying.
Run, sir. There is a WTF video, by the way, of somebody who, it's in a Mexican restaurant or bar, it looks like, and somebody decides to shoot a tequila bottle off a friend's head with a gun.
Yeah, that seems dumb.
Don't do that.
That's a video you should definitely be checking out. And how about Luke Akins? He is, I don't know much about his background, but he's apparently some sort of a daredevil. He went up 25,000 feet in the air, so high up that you have to wear an oxygen mask, by the way, to jump out of a plane. Oh, wait, did I forget to mention, without a parachute, okay? He's jumping out of an airplane from 25,000 feet. He's the first person to ever intentionally jump out of an airplane without a parachute. And the plan is that he's going to land in a net on the ground. Now, I don't know anything about parachuting. I've never done it. I never will. But you can't 100% control where you land, right?
I think if you're good, you can.
Yeah,
yeah, this guy, yeah.
With,
guy is a
with
huge,
a parachute.
Yeah, no, but he's a skydiver. He's a base jumper. He knows what he's
doing. I think guys that have done it this much and are this accomplished can. But I would say most people can't.
But Kevin, the reason they're able to control where they land is because they have a parachute on and they can move with the wind. They can adjust the direction they're going because of the parachute. You can't if you're free falling.
You can. You can use your arms and your legs.
Yeah, in a wingsuit, you can.
All right.
I don't know why you're arguing this. He did it. The guy did it.
Thank God he landed in the net.
No, it would have been better if he didn't land in the net.
I don't
agree. Oh, Dave. Here's a condensed version of the play-by-play of this dude, Luke Akins, jumping out of a plane without a chute.
Jumpers are away. Jumpers are away.
They're off. At 18,000 feet, the oxygen mask will come off. That will be from his cousin, Andy Farrington. We'll be closest to him. There goes the oxygen mask. Now at 12,000 feet, he'll hear a beep in his helmet. That will tell him he's halfway home. Momentarily, we'll see his jump team pull their chutes, and that means Luke is all alone for the rest of the way. There goes the chutes. Luke is on his own. And the crowd on the ground looking up, they have a visual on him right now. He's in!
The dude did it.
He made it.
It was unbelievable.
I was hoping it was going to be like a cartoon where he hits the net and it just shoots him back up.
Into the plane?
Yeah, back up.
How much would they have to pay you guys to duplicate that trick?
Oh, stop. Oh,
I won't even get up in the plane. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Really? If they offered you $5 million cash, Dave, even though you just saw another dude do it.
No.
$5 million.
Can you take as much time as you want to practice? Or you have to do it right now. Because none of us.
Right now.
Well, we would all die
right
immediately.
I couldn't even jump off the stratosphere, let alone a freaking plane.
That's true. Dave went up to the top of the stratosphere and then chickened out and went back down.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even being asked to jump. That's just a roller coaster, right?
No. You could jump off the stratosphere.
It's a tower. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Here's we don't do this very often. This is a repeat Internet Roundup video, and I only brought this back because Kevin was out last Thursday when we did the Internet Roundup, and it's the best video of the whole year.
It's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
She goes by Doja Cat. It has almost 4 million views already, and it's a video of her pretty much just dancing around in a bikini. At some point, she's wearing a black and white Holstein cow onesie, and she's
like
singing
you
a
do.
Song. Like you do. She's singing a song that is it's the song of the summer as far as I'm concerned. And it's called Moo.
Yeah, bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. I'm not a cat. I don't say meow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. Go moo. Moo. Moo.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Moo.
I mean, all I kept thinking is, your move, Rosa G, right?
Yeah.
So you can check out that video and all the rest. Oh, she's still going. All the rest, you can go to krock.com. You can go to kevinandbean.com. You can look for the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
They call Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Yeah.
Dr. Drew Pinsky with his weekly visit like we do on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up later on today. And at 9 o'clock, don't forget your tickets for the Caboo Del Mar at the Del Mar Fairgrounds and an outstanding weekend in September of music and comedy. Hey, Jen Scarp, welcome back, sir.
Oh, hello, everyone.
Kevin, Jensen, Kevin.
Hey, Jensen.
Hi, good to meet you.
He was filling in. He was filling your enormous headphones a few days while you were out recently. And did
I heard a lot of, hey, he really sounds great.
fantastic
no
job.
No need to have you back.
Where's well, I don't Kenneth? Think anybody would say that.
Where's
but,
Kenneth? Yeah, that
yeah. We did forget your name a couple days in, and we thought it was Kenneth. It didn't sound right, but we went with it.
And now I've just been going by Kevin, which is cool. Just like around my house, fiance so, calling me Kevin.
So for folks who haven't heard this segment in recent weeks, Jensen, mm-hmm. The history of Get Up on This is from your podcast.
Yes, over 360 episodes of myself and Matt Robinson on the Earwolf Network sitting around telling people what they should be into, things that have not yet hit mainstream, or things you may have missed over the past few decades.
All right, so let's do it. It's time for Get Up on This.
Get up, get on up on this.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Get up,
get on up
on this.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Okay, now, most of you know me as like a hip-hop nerd. Mm-hmm. Like, I like rap. You think I probably sit in my house and only listen to like Onyx on repeat.
Right.
That's not true.
All right, but before you distance yourself from that image, where were you last night, Jensen?
I went and saw Common and Queen Latifah at the Hollywood Bowl.
Awesome.
Queen Latifah brought out MC Light and Yo-Yo, and 11-year-old Jensen just screamed in his seat.
Over. Awesome.
Also, Common puts on quite a weird show.
He was my next door neighbor.
Was
and
he?
I'll just say he put on quite a show jogging shirtless.
I'm sure.
Good Lord, ladies.
He also just has like a one-man show where he's just like, and then in Chicago, I lived like this. And then he plays
just
it.
Telling stories.
Yeah, kind of. But it's like kind of like a retrospective of his career.
Wow, that's strange.
That sounds like fun.
Okay.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. He doesn't, right, he doesn't mention Kanye at all, which I thought was kind of awesome.
So
like,
that's
I met
your...
Jay Dilla, I met, and then he just does three Kanye songs and doesn't mention him, which is amazing. Seems like they're not friends. Okay, listen, I like music outside of hip-hop.
Okay.
I especially like kind of sugary, road trip pop music.
Okay.
Every year, I find myself listening more and more to like a yacht rock playlist.
Love it.
And I listen to being.
Yeah. I love yacht rock.
Bunch of white people in a room, baby. So like I kind of wish there was a new Christopher Cross or a new Hollow Notes, and we don't necessarily have that, but. There is a band out of Lincoln Heights, Los Angeles, a local band that is really focusing on that synth pop sound, very breezy, that's reminiscent of yacht rock, or even like a band that I'm really into, like Future Islands,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
Sort of that electronic pop sound that has a bass in rock. They released a song a few weeks ago, which is supposedly off a forthcoming EP just in the next month or so. The album is going to be co-produced, as is this song, by Math Bishop, which is a name you've heard from his work with U2 and The Killers and Jackknife Lee, so all things you are comfortable with here at
just
K-Rock.
Just those bands?
Well, many others.
A lot more, too.
Many others, but ones that are on K-Rock, so right. I feel like I'm with you now.
Okay.
I'm not just bringing in Chance the Rapper's little brother.
Okay.
His name is Cole Bennett, if you need to look him up at all. He's a pretty good musician as well. The band was started by singer and guitarist Edson Choi, who was formerly in Warships, which is another band I liked, and guitarist Mike Neeson. And it feels nostalgic, and it's perfect for summer and perfect for Los Angeles. The song is called Year of Self, and this is that song.
All the pieces there will blow away.
I love this.
This is great, right?
It's yacht rock synth pop.
I'm telling you.
Okay.
I'm always looking for a Kris Kristofferson to enter my life. It's 2018, and
amen.
I think I found it.
What's the band's name again?
The band's name is Talk Time. That song is called Year of Self. They've only released that so far, but there's a bunch of remixes online as well. So they put out like a remix EP, which is something you do to get on blogs and stuff. But that's the original version. That's the one I'm sort of getting you up on now.
That actually has a melody,
yeah.
And it has real instruments, and I'll tell you this. Weezer's going to cover it.
Oh, I mean, or at least Toto. The band can be followed on Twitter. It's at Talk Time Band. Also, if you're here in Los Angeles, they'll be at the Moroccan Lounge opening for Los Colonias August 30th. So this is a band that I endorse highly, and I think I'm excited to hear what's coming up next from them. Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I will find you Yacht Rock. Bring me in here. Put me in, coach.
Take your chances.
Get up, get on up, all this. Get up, get on up, all this.
Get up,
get on up, all this.
Get up,
get on up, all this.
By the way, Hall of Fame show here, right?
What does that mean?
Oh, yeah. That's us. That's us. We're Hall of Fame show, right?
What does that mean?
Sure.
I just want to remind everybody, as I tell you how we got into the Radio Hall of Fame, is how you injured your junk is coming up as the phone topic, coming up just after 8 a.m. We're going to be
Highbrow stuff like that.
It's highbrow stuff. We're going to be looking for your stories of genital injuries, basically, and we've got a gruesome one to get you started. And we're including the ladies as well, right? Because the ladies can certainly do some damage below the belt.
You ever
right?
ridden a bike?
And Kevin, I always look forward, whenever it comes up, I always look forward to your story of being a pitcher playing Little League.
Aww. Yeah, that's a great story.
So your injuries to your junk coming up just after 8 here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. All right, do we have Mr. Cho?
We do.
We love Mr. Cho. Yes. John Cho, you guys, is back on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the star of a new film in select theaters everywhere tomorrow, opening wide the week after. It is called Searching. John, welcome back, sir.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it, guys.
It's our pleasure. What's the elevator pitch tagline you've been telling people when they say, oh, you got a movie called Searching coming out? What's it about?
Thank you for asking. This is a suspenseful thriller about a man searching for his missing daughter. And he has to go into her computer to find out where she might be. And in the process, discovers she might not be who he thought she was. There's an unconventional component, which is that the movie is shot entirely on, or is told entirely through the devices that we use all the time, phones and tablets and computers.
All right, can I just stop you right there and say, my first reaction to that is, sounds gimmicky.
Yeah.
Then I saw it.
Unbelievable.
Not gimmicky at all. And you don't even notice that that's how they're doing it. It's told so well.
I'm going to be bummed when I see a quote-unquote normal movie now. I'm like, ew, what? Look at this landscape. This blows. Right?
I love it. Yeah, well, that was the goal we talked about. You know, I actually passed on the movie at first. I said, I don't want to do a YouTube video, man. I'm out. But the director kept coming back at me, and he convinced me that we were going to make something that felt like a traditional movie. So
totally,
go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, you 5 minutes in, you completely forget about that, and it's just a normal movie. You're telling a great story.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so gratifying to hear. I'm so glad. That's relieving.
John, I'm sure people ask you this all the time that have been lucky enough to see Searching ahead of time, but what internet provider does your character have?
Because it's real quick.
Instantaneous. I know it's set in San Jose. Is this some like super hyper speed that they have for the internet up there?
I think you must be right. I mean, that is a suspension of disbelief, man.
Yeah, right, exactly. You don't have to wait just a fraction of a second even. Everything's right there.
Everything loads immediately. And there are no autoplay ads you got to sit through or anything like that. It's incredible. Now, I was thinking about this from your perspective as an actor, and you've done so many roles that are so different. Nothing like this before, I imagine. Most of your scenes, am I wrong about this? Most of the scenes that you shoot, because of the nature of the way the film is done, are less than 30 seconds long. Is it? Am I wrong about that?
You know, the takes were long. They cut back and forth.
Uh-huh.
The weird part as an actor for me was just essentially having one angle the whole time, which is an extreme close-up. So mm-hmm. It was not great for my vanity. And also just it was weird because there were no people in the room to act with, and there was nothing on the screen. So it was kind of like a super... you know, the most intense version of a Star Trek movie, like all green screen.
Right. Wow. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. And most of your scenes, I mean, and you do get out and we do see you, you know, jogging at one point.
Yeah.
We see you out at a lake at one point. So you did have some outdoor time. But a lot of it was just shot in that one house. It must have felt a little bit claustrophobic.
Yeah, it was strange. It didn't feel like any other role that I'd done before, you know, and I just didn't have the I just felt like I didn't have as much control as I like, which is to say you'd like to know that they can cut away on to the wide at some point, or, you know, act with people that, you know, looking into a person's face does, you know, it makes it easier to be authentic. So it was a challenge, but
plus you're, you know, so handsome too. I mean, we didn't mind.
Right, your pores look great.
I know. My mother agrees with you.
It seems like, Kevin, you're the dad of now adult kids. Is there anything more terrifying than going to your daughter's laptop and not knowing what you're going to find?
Would never do it, except for these circumstances. Right. Would never do it. Yeah.
Except for these circumstances.
Well, it is interesting, too, because it's sort of like, you know, we used to tell our children, like, be careful of the creep, that one creep at the park.
Right.
But now every creep in the world theoretically has access to your children in their room,
including you. I mean, it had to feel odd to be going, I know it's just a movie and it's fiction, but to be going through your daughter's, you know, computer,
Facebook, all her social media,
right, to try and figure out clues of where she is. It was fascinating.
Go ahead,
Allie. At what point, don't give anything away, but at what point did it turn into a butthole clencher for you?
Well, first of all, I'm crying within the first 5 minutes of the movie, and I was like, I did not expect to cry in this. And then it goes on, and I'd say maybe a quarter of the way in, my butthole was clenched. And I'm not going to lie, John, you apologized to me on Twitter last night. It hasn't really unclenched.
Right?
I have been thinking about this movie. There are so many twists and turns that you never... I think I'm a pretty smart person. I watch a lot of murder shows.
You feel like you can guess where it's going?
I couldn't at least three separate times. I was like, what?
Yeah. There's some twists and turns, that's
yes,
for sure.
It is so good.
We are talking to actor John Cho here on the Kevin DeBeat Show about his new film called Searching in select theaters tomorrow. And I couldn't let you go, John, without asking about hashtag Asian August, because the story that I saw last night about some of your friends over across the aisle in Crazy Rich Asians, tell folks what they did for you.
John Cho, the director of Crazy Rich Asians, and the star Henry Golding, bought out a theater to help us with our opening weekend numbers, and I was so overwhelmed, you know, thinking about it. And hashtag Asian August is people going out there and supporting Asian Americans in film. It's been, you know, looking back at history, we haven't had a lot of representation on the American screen. So it's amazing that people are coming out and getting active. I love it
absolutely.
So much.
Yeah. It's definitely way past time for more representative roles for all sorts of people that we haven't been seeing on screens for a long time. Were you deeply offended that you weren't asked to be in Crazy Rich Asians, though?
I was neither crazy, rich, nor Asian enough.
Tell me about this is a first time writing group? First movie they wrote?
This is
or no?
You know what? I don't know. I don't think so. I think Kevin Kwok, that might be his first screenplay, but he did write the book.
Oh, I think. Oh, you were talking about John's movie, right?
I'm talking about your movie.
Oh, not my movie. Yes.
You don't need to promote Crazy Rich Asians, John.
they're doing fine.
We had John Cho in. Now we have John Cho.
Yeah, we're good.
Very confusing, even for me.
That's on me.
Chu Cho. Sev Ohanian and Anish Chagantia are first-time filmmakers. I'm not sure it's the first time they wrote a screenplay, but this is the first one they got produced.
Dang.
And so it's unbelievable.
Well, we've been lucky enough to all see this ahead of this conversation, John, and we recommend it very highly to the K-Rock audience. Like Ali said, it has twists and turns you will not see coming. It is a very compelling story. It's every parent's worst nightmare is to lose a kid and then the follow-up on trying to find out what happened. And by the way, big, big star, we haven't even mentioned Deborah Messing co-stars in this as well. Playing a role like you've never seen before. So definitely go check it out in select theaters tomorrow and then opening wide the following Friday, August 31st. John, you know, you've been coming on the show for many, many years here at K-Rock, and we always appreciate when you make time for us, man. You're welcome anytime.
Ali, again, I'm sorry about your butt.
thank you.
For having me.
Thank you, John.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
About an hour away from your tickets for Caboo Del Mar at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Foo Fighters, Incubus, Jimmy Eat World, Robert Plant, Slash, Alice in Chains, the list goes on, and tons of great comedy as well, including Craig Ferguson and Nikki Glaser, Liza Schlesinger, Craig Robinson. Man, it's a hell of a festival.
Sounds great.
Go to KROQ.com to win some passes and win them from us at 9 a.m. again this morning and again tomorrow morning, same time here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thursday now, Allie's here with What's Happening.
Remember when we heard there was going to be a movie about the late Fox News chief, Roger Ailes, and all of the allegations against him, the whole sexual harassment scandal, and we were like, do we need that? Like, right. Who?
I don't think we need it, and I can't believe Fox News would allow that film to be made. I thought they'd figure out some way to sue that thing out of existence.
Well, then we found out Nicole Kidman will be playing Gretchen Carlson, so that kind of changed it for me. I was like, okay, I'm listening. Charlize Theron will be playing Megyn Kelly.
Wow.
Margot Robbie will be in the movie. Not sure who she will be playing, but they have now cast Roger Ailes. We now know who will be playing him. Breaking news.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Playing Roger Ailes, the late Fox News chief.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
In the upcoming... In the upcoming movie about his sexual harassment
Live,
scandal.
Local, yep. Late okay. Breaking.
All right. Will be none other than John Lithgow. Lithgow.
I've always heard Lithgow, but...
I always thought it was Lithgow, and then I feel like when he started winning awards, people were saying Lithgow.
I mean, I think we know what you mean.
Yeah, but which one? Which John. One is it? Is it John Lithgow or John Lithgow?
Both.
It's just, same I think guy. It's the same person.
Oh, they're going to be sharing the role?
Okay. Yeah, same guy. What do you think about that?
I think it's great casting.
Yes!
I do, too.
Look, I think everything about this movie now makes me want to see it, and I was so not interested.
It seems much more serious now with those actors and actresses
right.
than just scandalous.
Yes,
you know,
just fluff.
Yeah,
well,
fluff.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a don't yell at me, Allie, but a cheesy Lifetime movie. It really seems more
How
like they're taking it seriously,
you?
And it's going to be quality. I know. I'm sorry.
Upsetting. Lifetime is television for women. Wasn't that their tag for real?
Yes, it was.
Time?
I knew I never watched it.
Because you're a dude.
They should have had Kevin Spacey play the role, by the way.
Well, that would have been just...
Spot on.
Right.
Spot on. I mean, yeah, he certainly has all the experience sexually harassing everybody.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about my interview with Roger Ailes?
I don't think
so. I don't think
so. Yeah, I did. I did mornings at Fox News Channel for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Weekend Fox and Friends. Good times, everybody. But you go through...
Good fit having you on that channel, right?
Listen, they're like, she's blonde, she can show off legs, get her in here.
Right?
But I had gone through like three different interviews with the people right below him. So the last two were with Bill Shein, who's now, I don't know what he does at the White House, but he's...
Yeah, yeah, he just transferred over to the White House. Right?
After he found out that he was behind everybody getting cleared for sexual harassment at Fox News, he was finally fired. Now he's working at the White House. But right before my interview with Roger Ailes, I said to Bill Shein, I said, so will he do the whole interview just kind of, you know, from the side? And he said, what do you mean? And I said, I mean, he's Alfred Hitchcock, right? That's the same guy, right? And he goes, Allie, seriously, don't joke about things like that before you meet him. He was terrified. Like, what are you doing? You're going to mess up this whole interview. And apparently I didn't. Roger Ailes loved me.
Hmm.
Want to know what he said?
Sure.
Want to know what I like about you? And I was like, oh,
right.
No. This was before any of this came out. But he goes, you're not afraid to be ugly on camera. And I was like, I'm sorry.
What a horrible thing to say.
And then he says, you know, you're like a young Lucy. Or you're like a young, who could I think of? Like a Carol Burnett, where you're not afraid to, like, dive into a vat of pudding just for the segment. And I said... Lead with those two comparisons, not say you're not afraid to be ugly on camera.
That's funny.
It was kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was before everything came out about
him. Yeah. Then I didn't stay longer. Maybe he would have had me twirl around in front of him and whatnot. Good times. What a horrible man he turned out to be.
I do get the sense that as a woman at Fox News, you have to be really, really hot to get hired. Mm-hmm. And the minute you walk in the door, you start aging out.
Oh, for sure.
Like the clock starts ticking. All right, this one's not going to last long. Those looks won't last forever.
Yeah. I remember when people would post the picture of all the Fox News women, and there's like 40 of them, and they're all blonde, and you would swear it was the same picture unless you really looked at it. Concerning.
Yeah.
Glad
I still think Univision has the hottest anchors, but Fox, they try, man. They're right behind them.
I mean, if we're going to rank hot chicks on the news.
Well, I'm just saying, like, CNN doesn't seem to hire anyone because they're hot. I don't know why. It's crazy. They hire people who seem to be journalists.
And guess what? They're last in the ratings.
There you're getting beat. You're right.
This is really took a weird turn, didn't it? Really took a weird turn. So, Nicki Minaj, what is going on with her? She's postponed.
I don't like this.
Yeah, she's postponed her previously announced North American tour with Future. A statement from Live Nation notes that Nicki has decided to reevaluate elements of production on the tour. So, did she realize, okay, it's just not coming together how I wanted it? This was right after the VMAs, so not sure if that performance, she saw some issues that she'd want to work out for a little longer before she went on tour. But now the new tour is going to kick off in May 2019. Dates have not been announced, but due to scheduling conflicts, Future will not participate. So that was kind of the big part of the tour were those two together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the reports all yesterday that they deny is the ticket sales were terrible.
Yeah, that is unverified reports of extremely low ticket sales.
Which surprises me. I would have thought that Nicki would be a draw.
You would think. Yeah.
I don't feel that way.
No?
I don't know.
Really?
But I could be off, but it just seems like...
I mean, she's got the number two album in America right now.
Which she thinks is number one.
Right, exactly. Yeah. She definitely has people who like her, but I was surprised by that.
Oh, my God. Right. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't know.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Right. I'm so...
Right.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
All right, Nicki. Thanks. Yeah.
What's good? Remember that?
Sure.
I do remember what's good.
Good times.
I just can't believe this even happened. Oh, my goodness.
Right. Okay. It did. All right. Some birthdays for you. Dean DeLeo, Kobe Bryant, Jay Moore, Julian Casablancas, and that's what's happening.
Have you guys ever watched anything live streaming on Twitter? You know, they've been doing that with baseball some this year. I know you haven't seen that, but have you seen anything live streaming on Twitter?
I don't think I have.
Mm-mm.
Well, this may be your opportunity because the Smashing Pumpkins, that band right there, in conjunction with Live Nation, is going to stream the entirety of their concert tomorrow night in Seattle.
Interesting.
They're playing in the Key Arena starting at 8:15, and they're streaming the entirety of the Shiny and Oh So Bright tour. So if you were
about 140 characters at a time.
No. It's actually live video, Kevin. So if you weren't able to see them when they came through town and you want to see a Smashing Pumpkins concert, you can for free on Twitter tomorrow. So check out those details. I'm sure they have links and whatnot at the Pumpkins social media, but that's kind of a neat deal, right?
Agreed. Yeah.
All right. Cool. When you see a photo of bloody underwear under any circumstances, there's no possibility that there's good news happening.
Correct.
And that was the case.
It's also, I don't need to see anymore.
I'm
out.
I know that I am on a page that I do not need to be on.
Correct, yes. Mm-hmm.
If there is a photo of bloody underwear.
Right.
And one was making the rounds this week with Bryce Mitchell. Now, I am not familiar with Bryce Mitchell, but he was, what did Dave say? He was on the...
Ultimate Fighter,
yeah. How did he do it? What did he do to his testes, Kevin?
I don't know. Because I didn't really want to go into that story much.
All right.
It's not good.
Allie, will you read his statement so I don't have to?
Am I allowed to say what he ripped the way he says it?
Okay.
Yes. Here's his statement. And
I hope this is going to feel less painful for Kevin and me to not have to say these words.
Yeah.
It'll temper it a little bit if it comes from
I don't know. I still have to hear it. Okay, go ahead.
So I was going to train today, but I ripped my nutsack in half. I'm about to get stitched up. I was holding a board over my head with the drill in my pants. I was sizing up the board, and the drill went off and tangled my nuts up in it.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. Stop right there. Mm-hmm. Hold on. I'm holding a board over my head
with a drill in my pants.
Like he probably put it between his legs type of thing.
Between his legs, yeah. Okay. Sizing up the board and the drill went off.
Yeah.
And it was just too close to his crotch, I guess.
Right.
Mm. Okay. I don't like it.
Going on, he said, I dropped the board and reversed the drill and untangled my nutsack, but they was ripped in half.
Oh, no.
I'm serious, too, LOL.
That's not an LOL.
There's no LOL there.
That is an incorrect use of LOL.
I obviously can post a pic. Thank God.
That isn't good for you.
No.
But when my nuts are sealed back up, I'm going to come train again. I think a high kick would re-rip them, ha-ha.
Oh.
And if I hear any S puns about this whole, this is nutty or screwed up, I ain't talked to you for about a month. If you're going to drop a pun to make fun of me, at least put some thought into it, LOL. His spelling is atrocious.
It is.
God bless him.
It does feel like he's writing from the 1930s, too, with some of these. All right, so he had a drill accident,
yes,
essentially. And I know that lots of people get injured when they're doing, you know, they're doing construction or they're doing hardware or they're doing crafts or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're using tools. People chop off fingers and things like that. But we're specifically talking about genitals today.
Your
That's
junk.
What we're talking about.
You
talking
injured
about
your junk.
You injured your junk is what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. And a few minutes ago, Allie, I asked you if this happens to ladies as well. Mm-hmm. And the first thing you said was what?
You ever rode a bike?
Dear Kevin and Bean, Erica writes in from the OC. Hey, Kevin and Bean, I was on a bike ride with my dad when I flipped over the handlebars and a handlebar went up my junk.
Oh, Lord.
I had very bloody underwear later on and a bruised pelvic bone for a week.
Yeah.
No fun at all, Erica.
I'd like to take a vote again, if I could.
Yeah.
And just say, are we positive we want to continue with this topic? Or do we want to take calls?
I might second a no. The more we get into it and the more it's starting to hurt already.
Mm.
By the way, Bryce Mitchell, the UFC fighter, the MMA fighter who ripped his nuts with the drill, he tweeted this morning, well, Mama, we made it. Sports Center is talking about my nutsack.
I kind of love him.
That's
so
awesome.
He is forever, just like Mike Tyson is forever known as the guy who bit off Holyfield's ear.
Yeah.
This or a rapist. What?
Huh? Oh, right. Or a rapist, right. Yeah. Bryce Mitchell is forever going to be the guy who drilled his nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not what you want.
No.
Now, Kevin, tell your story because it's one
of my favorites of young
Lamb stories.
I was a pitcher in high school in baseball, and I was throwing smoke, by the
Were
way.
Were you?
Throwing smoke.
Cool.
And I threw a fastball right over the plate, and the batter made perfect contact with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a line drive right back at me in my junk.
No.
Before I could move my hands or get in the way or jump out of the way or anything, it came back so fast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's coming at you like 100 miles an hour.
And I just kind of stood there and this sort of fell over.
Yeah.
And I laid out there on the ground and I needed to throw up and I didn't know my head was spinning and I didn't know it was happening. And I just laid there and my coach, who was a very funny guy, he was a very young guy, he came out and he leaned over and he whispered to me, you know, everyone's watching you, right? That made it better. And I mean, it was swollen, I'm going to say four times as big.
Wow.
4, 2 to 3 days.
What a letdown when the swelling goes down, right?
No, I don't.
Well, no, you don't want your testicles swollen, Allie.
No, that's not ideal.
All right, I have two questions. One is cup or no cup?
No, I don't know. I don't remember.
Because I think it would help if you had a cup.
All come off if I didn't have a cup.
Yeah, right. And thing two is, and it doesn't sound like this happened to you, but I understand that if you get hit hard enough in the testicles, you can pass out. Like, instantly, it knocks you out.
I think I did pass out two or three times while I was laying there because I was very confused about what was happening. Mm-hmm. And I would sort of wake up and look up and see people around me, and then I felt the need to throw. It's the worst.
Yeah.
And anytime I hear one of these stories, I feel myself like I need to throw up again.
Yeah.
It's like people who've broken their ankle and then they see it happen to somebody else and you feel those feelings.
It's a sensitive area, guys.
It's not ideal.
It is sensitive. All right, let's get into Raul's call. Glassell Park, like that's a place? Line two?
Hey,
really?
Glassell Park.
Hey, Raul.
Where's Glassell Park, Raul?
It's actually Glassell Park, and it's over just east of Dodger Stadium, actually.
Oh, all
no
right.
Kidding. All right. Well, good for you.
Are you serious, Pete?
I never heard of it before. Have you?
Yes.
You're an idiot.
Kevin, have you heard of it before?
Not once.
Okay. All right, Raul. We're talking about genital injuries. What happened, sir?
Well, I'm a plumber, so we got to an apartment building, and there's a wrought iron security gate around this building.
Oh, no.
And we tried to get a hold of the tenant, which wasn't replying, so I decided that I was going to take the lead and jump over the security fence.
Mm. Sure.
And as I got onto the doorknob and was putting my leg over it, slipped, and then I felt a warm liquid coming down my leg.
Oh, my nuts. I'm not enjoying this. I'm not having fun.
So the fence, one of the sharp parts of the fence, did it go through your testicle?
It went through my jeans, through my boxers, and yes, it went, not the actual testicle, but the sack.
Oh, dude.
Oh, I don't have those, and I'm in pain.
Was it difficult to remove you from it, or did they have to cut
it
away?
Were you stuck there for like 6 hours?
He's still there.
No, actually, I just, once I started feeling the warm, down my leg, I just stood up, got back up and came off and realized that it was blood.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Good times. All right, Raul, thank you so much for calling, sir. We appreciate it. By the way, a topic for another day, Kevin, you recall... We've done You Got Impaled before on the show.
Yeah.
My mom was impaled on an iron fence, and it went in her back and out her stomach.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so, and she was there. They did have to cut the fence away to get her out of there, but thank God we're not talking about that today. Thank God we're only talking about nut injuries.
All right,
1-800-520-1067. Were you like Raul? Share your story. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
All right, just ahead of the killers, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Ray from Chatsworth. Hi, Ray.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
Poorly.
Well, we're talking about genital injuries. It sounds like you're the dumbass of the week, if I understand your story correctly.
All right. So, Buddy and I decided to jump into each other's arms over a pool, and we ended up smashing nuts. And
go on.
My left nut for a month was literally black. And, So everyone found out that this happened, so I ended up showing off my left nut for about a month to everybody that I knew, and it was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure people were dying to see it.
That is an incredibly stupid way to get hurt, right?
Smashing nuts!
I thought I wasn't going to be able to have kids, so I went to the doctor. The doctor said that my left nut was fine, that I was going to be good. So,
but you'd have black kids. No.
So dumb. Yeah, you are so dumb.
They were going to be half black, half Mexican.
Thank you, Ray. We appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1067. I think I've got a scrotum injury to tell you guys about.
Nope.
Allie, you had another one you just remembered too, right?
Yep. Oh, I remember it.
We'll get into all that coming up on K-Rock.
All right, I have to go clean up the hallway. I have to go clean up the hallway.
There's nothing in the hallway.
So I'll be right back.
Not
it's
a thing.
Really dirty.
Really? You don't want to hear some more of this?
And I'll be back in a second, probably 6-7 minutes.
Huh. We were talking about Bryce Mitchell, the UFC fighter, who ripped his nutsack, his words, in half with a drill injury. So that's what we're talking about here today. Man, we're getting some good ones here.
Yeah.
From the 951. So as a kid, I climbed a metal pole and was going to slide down like a fireman once I got to the top. There was a hook for a volleyball net that I didn't notice on my way up, but it hooked through my sack on the way down. My mom had to come lift me off once she heard me yelling, "Holy F, it was horrible." Luis writes in, "My great-grandfather was a Spanish bullfighter. First of all, shame on him. Second of all, he split his unit in half during a bullfight. His girlfriend at the time broke up with him because of it, but according to him, she missed out because after it was sewn back together and healed, it was twice the normal size permanently."
Is that what you want, though?
I mean, look, at least there was some upside at the end of his journey, right? It wasn't all bad news. All right, let's get back to some calls. Let's start with Mary Silver Lake, please, line 6, 1-800-520-1067. We've been hearing from a lot of dudes. Time to find out what's going on with the ladies. Hi, Mary. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on.
Hi. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. What happened?
So several years ago, I was 18, about to start college as a dance major, and just my luck, I was dancing in my living room 4 days before I was supposed to go move into college, and I did a leap, and I stumbled, and I landed kind of on the backside of the couch, like straddling it.
Right.
And it really hurt, but the worst part was after a couple hours, there was some swelling. And I ended up developing what's called a labial hematoma.
Okay.
So,
oh, all right.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound sexy.
It was a balloon.
Oh.
And I had to go to the doctor and have it surgically drained.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Hey, this has been fun, everybody. Thanks for calling.
How do you have a story? How are you a dancer who's 18 who has a story about a labia and you figure out a way to make it not sexy?
No, it was the worst thing ever. And then a couple days later, I moved into my new dorm in college, and I was the dance major who couldn't walk, and everyone wanted to know why I was on crutches.
Oh, Mary, did it ultimately heal fine and you're okay now?
How long do we have to talk to Mary?
I just want to make sure she's okay now. Are you all right now?
It's fine now, yes.
Okay, good. All right. Healed.
I love you, Mary. Nothing against
I
you.
I do, too. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Labia drain.
Oh,
yes.
Crap. I never want to hear those two words
Say,
together.
Well, that's it. We're out of time.
No,
everybody.
We got Carly. We got Carly from Fullerton. She's another lady injury on line 7, please. Carly, thank you for listening to the Kevin DeBeat Show. What happened to you?
Hi, when I was about 6, I was climbing a treehouse, and I just remember my foot slipping, and I just landed all my weight on the wooden rung of the treehouse, and I just remember screaming, my parents running out, and then I had to pee in a warm bath for a couple weeks after that.
Oh, my God. Man. Now, are you like us when once it's happened to you once, can you visualize it the rest of your life? Like, that's a pain you'll never forget?
I think most of it I blurred from my memory.
Okay. I think that's smart. Thank you for the call. Kevin, I know you want to talk to Malcolm. He's in Burbank. He's on line two up next.
The time, though. Man, we're running late. We got a lot of good stuff.
But you'll really enjoy Malcolm's story.
Get to coming up.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Just a minute.
Bean,
Hi, Malcolm. What happened?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
We're good.
What happened to your balls?
Asked and answered. What happened to your balls?
All right, so this happened to my cousin. I was at Johnny Carson Park in Burbank, and we were at a family barbecue, and we were just playing some baseball, and then we got tired of, you know, playing catch, so we decided to see which one of us can, you know, knock a few home runs or knock a few balls out of the park. So I went up first, and I tossed the ball up, and when I swung, I totally missed the ball, but the follow through went right to my cousin, who was standing directly behind me, right to his ball sack.
Went all the way around and hit him.
Exactly, yeah. So he just instantly started screaming, fell to the floor. This was between the age of like 11 and 13, somewhere like 12. So, yeah.
I would like to say, and I don't know what the rules were for your game, Malcolm, I think that counts as a home run.
That's two balls, Bean. Two balls, no strikes.
All right, just 0-2. Sorry, thanks for calling.
All right, can we be done?
Really, 2-0, I guess, makes more sense. Yeah, I think we're done now.
Okay.
Guys, I'm serious about this ukulele thing. Now, I know you're going to mock me.
Oh, dear.
I've been getting good response from the listeners, including some who play the ukulele, who say that it is a relatively easy instrument to learn and that it is very relaxing.
Right.
And fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's a ton of YouTube tutorials, although I've had some listeners that have even offered to help me. Offered to help me.
That's nice.
But I'm worried about, you know, anytime you start a new hobby, you know, you're worried about just wasting your time. You know, I don't want to get 3 weeks in and go, well, this is dumb, and then give up, and then I'm out $40 for a ukulele. Then what?
Ugh, right?
Right?
I was just going to say go for a um, inexpensive one. And beans like $40.
I don't want to waste that $40.
I'm just saying that's probably not a lot. And if it gives you a shot at joy, why not?
Yeah.
But then I put, then I just put it down, and then I just add that to the long, long list of things that make me feel like a failure. You know what I mean?
Well, it's good you're not sabotaging it right away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this is why I'm struggling with this, because on the one hand, I see the upside of being the guy who can play a ukulele, because
at all those parties.
What's that upside?
think about all the times that'll come in handy.
Sure.
Well, I mean,
in your house.
Well, for instance, you're at an event. I can't imagine right now what kind of an event.
You're not at an event, but go ahead.
Okay, but all right, let's say I'm on a plane then.
Okay.
And the pilot comes on and goes, excuse me, pastor, sorry to interrupt your movie, but is there anyone on the plane who plays the ukulele? Boom!
Right?
I'm the guy.
That's probably happened to me 10 times.
It's a great example.
All right, put it in the file. But I'm just saying that'd be a nice skill to have in my back pocket, just like it'd be great if I could speak Spanish. You know
right.
what I mean? It's just something it's equally useful. It's something that it'd be nice to add to my list of contributions to the world. That's
right,
all.
Sure.
But I think if there's a chance it will bring you any joy for any amount of time, just do it.
That's what I'm saying. Give it a try.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, it doesn't. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Ukulele it up.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Wow, are you stupid?
Hey, I'm talking it through here.
I don't know where that came from.
Through here. All right, so that's a vote yes. Now, Chip, let me ask you this. In Well-Flung Fart, do you guys need a ukulele player as a sideman in your band?
Bean, if you learn ukulele, you are in.
I love it.
All right.
I would pay any amount of money to see that.
That is going to change the sound of your group, though, I'll tell you that. I don't see you as being a ukulele-based band, but...
I don't know, man. I just learned.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys have pumped me up now. Maybe I'll think about it.
We've gotten you to the point where you might think about it.
Think about it, yes. Okay. Yeah, I'm not committing.
Okay.
Obviously.
All right.
All right, here's the thing. Is there any level of interest whatsoever in the room... in going to a drive-in movie theater?
Absolutely. It's funny you should mention that.
No.
Really?
I have never been to one. And when I was in Maine, there's one on the route to my parents' house. And I was like, I want to go. And my parents were like, why?
Right,
it's
exactly.
So lame. But they were playing Ant-Man. And I was like, I should go. And then I didn't.
The only people that want to go are the people who haven't gone.
Right. I've never gone. I've never had one near me. Or.
But why do you say that, Kevin? Because think about how many positives there are to going to a drive-in movie theater.
Okay. Like bringing your own food, maybe?
That could be one.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Not having to worry about people sitting next to you in the theater and talking, for instance. Being able to, you know, just spread out and be comfortable.
You can neck in the back seat with Fonzie.
I hadn't thought of that.
If you want an old school, yeah. Being able to go with your wife and be able to chat with her during the movie.
But why are you going to a movie if you want to chat?
Because the same way you sit at home and chat.
The same
way you chat with your wife when you're watching television. It's a more of a communal experience that could be fun. Here's why I bring it up. Is I saw an article today about a city in Virginia called Stephen City, maybe Stephen City, which looks like how it's spelled. But it is one of only 300 drive-in theaters still in operation in the United States. By the way, in the 1960s, there were over 4,000 drive-in movie theaters.
A lot of those went away because they blow.
I think you have a very negative attitude about this.
Here's one of my problems. I love the sound of the movie. Mm-hmm. This is a little tiny speaker that sits in your window.
But you haven't been in years. What makes you think they haven't upgraded that? For instance, this theater, owner Jim Coop says he has added contemporary features like FM stereo sound and digital projection to make it a good experience, audio and video.
Do you keep your car running?
No.
See, that's why I didn't go, because it was so hot in Maine. And I didn't want to sit
Another
there and sweat.
Negative.
Yeah.
And by the way, just because you don't, doesn't mean other people are following the rules either.
Oh.
Getting out, slamming the door, going back to get some popcorn.
Kevin, you're ruining this experience.
I'm just saying it's not a good experience.
You are Mr. Negative on this, dude. You can go and tailgate, have a cookout if you want with your friends while you're watching a movie.
Because you
want
to get to a movie 4 hours early?
Pound some beers.
I'm saying during the movie you could. You can make it a dinner and a movie thing. Cook up some steaks or something while you're watching your film.
That's not distracting to the car behind you.
two movies at this
theater.
Are they
roasting marshmallows now? What's going on
with them? What are they doing? This is a movie.
two movies, by the way. Two films cost $8 at this theater. Wow. Two movies. Double feature for $8.
Wait, hold on. Guess.
It blows.
Wow.
Cheapen the price.
Debbie Downer.
I'm just saying, maybe there's a reason it's $8.
Kids get it half price. You're welcome to bring your dog.
Excellent.
By the way, another awesome thing about it.
Sure.
Roll down the window, get a little fresh air.
Right.
If the weather cooperates.
Sure. And if the weather doesn't cooperate?
Well, you don't. I mean, you don't go if
it's
pouring,
a sucky night.
Pouring rain or snowing or something like that.
Oh,
you
that
don't
would be
go.
Romantic.
You lost me. You don't go.
This movie theater alley also features waitresses on roller skates who glide through the crowd serving concessions.
Fun, like Ruby Tuesdays.
Like the movie Grease.
Or that. Okay.
So another man who loaded up his 1968 Bronco truck with his family to go see Black Panther. It felt like a special occasion, a night out with the family.
Great car.
I'm just telling you, I like everything about this, you guys. I would go to
You're
a drive-in
not going
to
go, though.
I would go to a drive-in theater. I would, because I don't like the, you know, being around all the people in the theater and stuff like that. And this way you're by yourself, in my case, because no one would go with me, in a car, enjoying yourself while you're watching the movie.
Ew. Right? You didn't have to say that.
Right? Not like that.
Disgusting.
You just said enjoying yourself.
You just said by myself, enjoying myself,
right?
Watching a movie.
No,
like, we don't need to know that.
Right? Because I'm
That's
having
why.
God damn it.
That's why, because Bean thinks he won't get arrested.
Right.
True fact. Nothing here that says you need to wear pants when you go. So I'm just saying, as a suggestion, why Netflix and chill when you can go to a drive-in movie theater and really turn it into a special occasion? That's what I'm saying.
Have
like
at
Kevin,
it, man. Have
Kevin's
at
in.
It.
Sounds like Allie's in.
You have a great time.
And I can practice the ukulele while I'm watching the movie.
Ew, is that what you're calling it? Disgusting.
We already told you. Don't tell us that. Penis. No, that's over with. We're done with that.
You sure?
I'm positive.
We could keep going.
We could have gone all day. Oh, yeah. We had plenty of calls.
And by the way, speaking of my great idea about bringing back drive-in movie theaters, Dave put up a poll on the Kevin Bean Twitter account. Would you like to guess where we're at? Here's the post. Drive-in theaters, are we still down with them? Hell yes, they're fun. Or hell no, beat it, kid.
All right. Let me ask a question first. Is this people who have done it? Or is it just people who are guessing they might like it or not like it?
No way to tell.
Very important. That's a very important.
Yeah. It's just people. I've done it, and I think it's phenomenal.
I've done it, and it sucks.
I've never done it, and I'd look forward to it.
All right. Hell yes, they're fun versus hell no, beat it, kid. What do you think our audience has said after 367 votes?
I think 70% would say fun.
I think it's the opposite. 70% say no.
Allie's closest, 83% hell yes.
Yeah.
Only 17 saying hell no, beat it, kid.
Yeah, I would think a lot of our audience hasn't done it.
Right,
they're probably
that's the
in
thing.
The same, yeah.
Once you do it, you realize this sucks.
That is possible. And by the way, if you're curious, the Paramount Drive-In Theater is still open in Paramount, and the Vineland Drive-In Theater in the City of Industry is open as well. So there are at least a couple of Southern California options. Raul writes in, I went to a drive-in theater 2 weeks ago, minus the bad sound, the cars with the lights on blinding you as they try to find a space to park. The creepos walking around and the loud people, it's not bad.
How about that? I mean,
so he ends it with, it's not bad.
Right.
So I'm going to take that as a win.
Oh, dear.
All right, stand by for your Caboo Del Mar tickets coming up in 5 minutes. First, Allie's got what's happening.
Well, we had heard that Ben Affleck had broke up with the woman he had been dating for quite some time and was spotted on dates with a very young Playboy model. Apparently, he had taken a pretty bad turn and he had fallen off the wagon and it hasn't been looking good for a bit. But what happened was pictures of him getting an alcohol delivery at his home were published on Monday. And his ex-wife saw those pictures and staged a little intervention last night. And he is now headed back to rehab.
Well, and that's good.
It's great. And apparently did not put up a fight about it when everything was fine. But what, just a bummer. Just a bummer for him. He's so talented, but obviously it's an addiction. And it's hard to beat. So
I think alcohol is the worst as far as beating it.
I think pain pills is the hardest to beat.
I think it's alcohol.
I think it's pain pills.
All right.
Grande or Grandy?
Grandy.
I think it's heroin.
Oh.
It's not heroin. It's alcohol. Let's talk to Drew. We're talking to him in 10 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Let's put a dollar on it.
Really?
One American dollar.
One American dollar.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So right. I say alcohol is the hardest.
Okay.
You say pills.
Yes.
Just generic. And Bean says heroin.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Which is harder to beat. Correct.
This is the worst bet I've ever been involved in. But
agreed.
Okay.
I'm happy he's in rehab.
Me too.
That's
absolutely
good.
And I mean, who isn't in this movie? You know, the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that's going to be the, you know, Manson murder adjacent movie. Mm-hmm. We already knew Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio, Margot Robbie, Al Pacino, Dakota Fanning, James Martin, Damian Lewis, Luke Perry, Uma Thurman, and Ethan's daughter will also appear. So a young up-and-comer. And now, maybe the one person that would make me go, eh, not into it now.
Demi Lovato.
No.
There's somebody that's going to turn you against it.
Like, all those people are amazing. And then I just saw this and I'm like, ugh.
Count Smokey Love?
No, I'd be so into that. Mm.
Who's the BG that's still alive?
Not sure.
I think it's Barry Gibb. Maybe.
Is it Barry? Okay. Yeah.
So. DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
I would see it with him. Mm. Great
the
guy.
The Mexican.
No. Kind of leaves it wide open there. Hey, Ram! I will tell you this.
Okay.
Johnny Asshole.
Nope. Bean will see it because she's in it.
Oh,
he loves
sure
her
will.
So much.
Taylor I'm already Swift. Excited.
Mm-mm, not Taylor. Swift. It's someone that you and I are both like, really? Her again? Why are you always naked?
Cindy.
Not Cindy.
Oh,
this
yes.
is Ed Asner.
Not Ed Asner. Not
yeah, it's sure. The girl that, yeah, the HBO show.
Girls?
Girls.
Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham, yes.
Yeah. What? So that's. Again, look, Bean loves her. That's
Bean's
in
control of the kids, just so you guys know. And that's not safe.
I do love her, and it's not because of her nakedness. I don't mm-hmm. need to see any more of that. But I think she's a really good actress.
Okay. Is she caliber of the people I named?
Look, is she Leonardo DiCaprio? No. But I don't think she's playing his role either. I'm sure she's playing. Quentin Tarantino is excellent at casting.
That would be weird if she was
that's
playing.
True.
Yeah. So I think he'll find a role that is appropriate for her, and she'll probably be real good at it.
Okay. All right. You turned me around. All right. Some birthdays for you. Dean DeLeo, Kobe Bryant, Jay Moore, and Julian Casablancas, and that's what's happening.
Dr. Drew Pinsky's on the phone. Hey, Doc.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
It's great to have you. We appreciate your time every week. Hey, should we ask him to do the bet first before we get into that? Okay. So we were just having a conversation a few minutes ago about Ben Affleck. Batman himself is back in rehab, and we were expressing a great deal of sympathy for how difficult it is to get clean. I mean, it's a lifelong struggle for a lot of people, and it's certainly what you've spent most of your professional life talking about, Dr. Drew. Here's Kevin to lay out your choices. We need you to settle an argument for us because we got money on the line.
All right.
Then it went into betting, which I'm not proud of.
It's gross.
So I said I thought alcohol was the worst.
The hardest to get off of, right?
Yes.
And then I said,
Allie said pills.
I think it's pills.
And then Bean said heroin.
And I said heroin. So then Kevin said, well, we have Dr. Drew on in 10 minutes. Let's just ask him. He can settle it. Which is the most addictive, the hardest to get off of in rehab?
Well, you're asking multiple questions using multiple different terminologies that aren't the same thing.
Okay.
So most addictive and most difficult to stop versus most difficult to stay stopped versus most dangerous withdrawal.
Okay, so I don't even understand what you're saying now.
Let me parse it out.
Okay.
Alcohol is the only withdrawal that can commonly kill you. So alcohol withdrawal is the most dangerous.
Okay.
Heroin withdrawal is the most unpleasant, the most difficult.
Okay.
Heroin In terms of, you know, the most addictive, people usually think in terms of the most rapidly addictive. So cocaine sort of goes in that category. But opiates, once you get hooked, which takes a few weeks, that's the hardest to stay stopped. And the opiates, whether you're taking it intravenously or taking them orally, doesn't make that big a difference. But it's maybe a little worse when you get to the IV because it shows that you've progressed more.
Hmm. So I'm just going to call it a wash because none of us had any idea what we were talking about.
Probably good.
I think that's bottom line.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for clarifying that for us, Dr. Drew. We appreciate it. All right. Oftentimes we see an article and we say, what are they trying to say with this? And then we get a little deeper into it and we need a guy like you to walk us through it. I don't know if you saw this on the Huffington Post, but the headline is, watching shows like Keeping Up with the Kardashians makes you a worse person. And it sounds like what they're getting at here, according to this study from the London School of Economics, is that if you watch shows like that one that kind of glorify consumption and wealth, you will become a person who becomes more obsessed with those things and will have less feelings for the poor. You'd be less interested in people who don't have those things. You'll look down on them because of your TV role models. Is there anything to that at all, Doctor?
Well, there's something to it, but I found it a rather strange study with a strange result. So I'd be very, very cautious in, with sort of interpreting this. But the idea, I mean, think about when you watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Who do you think about hating more than anybody? You don't think about hating poor people. You think about hating the Kardashians, right?
Absolutely. You're hoping for a bomb to drop out of the sky at any moment.
Those
right.
are people hate watching it. I think there's a lot of people that watch it because they really enjoy it.
Well, and admire those people.
We have sort of conflicting systems in our mind, right? Mm-hmm. One is we have envy. And this is actually shown up in the anthropological literature. We have envy for people that have more than we do, and we want to knock them down. Mm-hmm. That says more about us and our kind of narcissism than anything else. So very narcissistic people tend to really act out envy, and they act out envy on people that have more than they do, and that's where all that feeling of hate them comes from.
Okay.
But by the same token, think of the impulse that humans have to create royalty. We have an impulse to do that. I think some of that impulse is born out in how people give money to, like, preachers on TV and things so they can get an extra plane. We want to lift people up at the same time that we want to tear them down. So those two conflicting impulses are in us to one degree or another.
Huh.
Whether or not that influences how we feel about people who have less, I think it's a bit of a stretch.
If anything,
I think these impulses kind of unify us as a have-not. You know, when you're have-nots, you at least have the power to elevate, and you have the power to tear down, and you wish you could get there yourself, so you work hard at it. But I'm skeptical of the idea that it's sort of creates disdain for it. It may create more interest in wealth and more sort of, because there's something called priming in psychology. Like if you look at pictures of jewelry and then talk about your feelings about royalty, guess what? Your feelings about royalty tend to be a little more positive just because you looked at pretty pictures of jewelry.
Right.
Something about that priming is where these negative feelings are coming from.
This study does break it down into really, I think, ridiculously small groups. Like, if you watch 60 seconds of a show like that, it will affect your view of people who don't have enough.
I would caution, you know, what that finding is, and then is that something that, you know, stays with you the rest of the day or the rest of the year or makes you a bad person? I don't see the correlation.
Yeah. And they also mentioned...
Not that I think reality is good for us, by the way. I think
it's
bad for us, but I think it's bad for us for the schadenfreude. I think it's because it is an opportunity for us to act out our envy, which is our worst impulse.
They do also mention, by the way, not just to, you know, blame everything on television, even people who read magazines like GQ and Vogue that are filled with, advertisements for luxury goods, for expensive stuff, it makes you want that stuff more. That's how advertising works, and you become so much more materialistic sometimes, and again, less sympathetic, less empathetic to people who don't care about
stuff. Same with Instagram, by the way.
I get FOMO all the time. And less happy. This is the other thing in the happiness research, which shows that humans are very, very happy with very, very little until they see somebody else with more, and then they get unhappy.
There you go. That's you could write a book just about that, Dr. Drew. That's a major point right there.
Yep.
All right, great stuff. As always, Dr. Drew, Midday Live, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 on 790 KABC. Dr. Drew's had some great guests on all of his various podcasts, too. The OG Dr. Drew podcast, the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast that he does 5 days a week, and the Swole Patrol, of course, with Mike Catherwood and others. And don't forget, you can download the Heal app at the App Store or Google Play. Have a great week, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Doug.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
That reminds me, by the way, that National Cover Day is coming up soon. I think at the end of next week. Didn't we do a song where we played all cover versions?
We didn't do a song, but we did a show.
A show, excuse me, yes. That was fun, right?
It was fun.
We should do that again.
Okay.
Because there's so many good cover songs like that one.
I mean, we're in charge of it, so we can do it again.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm gonna contact our people and see if I can get them to agree with it.
We don't have.
I hope so.
Okay.
Hey, Dave, is it okay with you if we do another National Cover Song Day show?
That's cute. You think he's paying?
Yeah. Oh. Do it.
Oh, there's our people right there.
How about that?
All right. Allie's here with one final look at what's happening here on this Thursday morning.
Well, a couple hours ago, we did Internet Roundup and. Dave introduced us to someone, dare I say, spoke to us, that we fell in love with.
American hero.
Kevin and I loved him. Me, not so much, but
this better not be Paul Flart.
It is indeed Paul Flart.
Oh,
if you
I hate
missed
this dude.
It, this is a guy that for 6 months recorded himself at his desk farting. Here's just a taste.
I don't want to taste.
Yeah.
Oh, we know. We all know what farting.
So every single time he farted, he would record himself.
He would grab his phone, record it, and then he created an Instagram page, Paul Flart. Well, I've got some really bad news. After that whole segment, I said to Dave, I said, I am really nervous about him. What if somebody from his work sees it and they fire him?
Well, because you see the logo on his security outfit.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Doug, a.k.a. Paul Flart, tells The Blast that he got booted last week from his job as a security guard at a hospital in Polk County, Florida. God damn you, Florida. No kids, no. I'm with that guy.
He was doing good work.
Right? So Doug explains that his boss's son... I know. It's okay. They're there. Doug explains that his boss's son saw his viral videos and told his dad...
What a little dick.
...who intercepted
snitches
Doug
get stitches.
In the parking lot, fired him on the spot. What a bitch your son is. F
you. What's right about that?
Nothing's right about it. But because of this, we have found more out about Doug.
Oh, good.
He says the fart phenomenon started one night when he let one rip while working his job. And the acoustics in the room were so good that he thought, I got to keep delivering. So, like I said, for 6 months, he started recording himself farting at his desk.
All right. Please stop playing.
Sadly, he suffered.
There it is.
Yeah, he suffered a small dry spell during the run.
Oh.
But he did some extensive research online, and he realized he had to eat more digestible fiber. That would be the key to his success. So he loaded up on granola, asparagus, and beans just to rocket those bowels back into action. So,
how do you have more information on this than you do about the next Avengers movie? Seriously,
how
deep are you going into this?
I'm going deep because The Blast... Awesome, first of all, that it's coming from The Blast.
Right.
TheBlast.com did a deep dive, so we don't have to, and I appreciate you, TheBlast.com. Doug says he's not mad at his former employers, even though he never identifies his place of business, and he doesn't plan on taking any action for his termination, like wrongful termination. However, his next step, he's launching a YouTube page, and he's toying with getting into comedy.
Yes, okay. Please.
Nobody has reached out just yet.
Yes,
but
please.
He's hoping to hear from Jimmy Kimmel. I believe we can make that happen, Doug.
I believe Jimmy would be delighted to have Paul Flart on.
If you don't think Jimmy will either A, fly him out, or B, Skype Doug immediately.
Or C, fly to him.
Fly to him. If this isn't a Jimmy Kimmel segment in the making, I don't know what it is.
All right, let me ask you guys this question. Mm-hmm. If it was to, look, I hate this guy, and I think he should never work again.
You're wrong, but go
you're
ahead.
The worst.
If he is spending 20 seconds a day taping himself farting, and that's the comedy of his Instagram post, is that a fireable offense to
you? Absolutely not.
I feel like it's a little bit of an overreaction.
Yes.
Can you see any insignia of the hospital or anything that identifies it?
Because I don't know if you can make it out.
I would think embarrassing your employer would.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think you can see where he's working. You can see maybe the name of the security firm he works for, though.
We know what it sounds like. We got it. So
he does good work. That's all I'm saying.
And what are the chances his comedy is something we want to see?
Listen, you don't just do some fart videos and then think, I'm going to make it in comedy now.
Right.
Oh. But I appreciate what he's doing.
He probably is one of those people, like the Catch Me Outside girl who goes, well, I'm a star now. I don't need a regular job. I have a job in show business now for the rest of my life.
Listen. Whoa. Yeah, that sounds juicy. Oh, no. Are these
his? Come on, Kevin.
No, this is Muggs.
This is
Remember
Muggs? Yes.
We saw him in the other studio, and he was dying laughing by himself. Yes. No one else in there.
We didn't know why.
Y'all are killing it right now.
Right?
Muggs was recording his.
Forget that guy. Forget Paul Flart. We need a Muggs on Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, first of all, he started doing it because of the acoustics in the room. All he needs is a mic,
right?
Like the one Muggs had. That sounds great.
Okay.
All right.
That's probably enough.
Oof. Guys, I don't know if I want to live in a world where people get fired just for creating joy.
Right?
Like that.
That's not so much joy.
Yeah, that's a little, that's like wet.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. In case you missed it, George Clooney topped Forbes' list of highest paid actors in 2017. Nope. I think we're good.
Okay.
All right. Now it's not us doing it.
Right.
This is Bean now taking over.
Right.
Bean.
All right, then. Okay, now it's getting good.
It came back around.
This is never going to end, I hope.
We are adults.
Keep going, man. Keep going.
Oh. Did you hear the fart just then?
He's sad. That's over.
He's real sad.
Yeah. All right. We heard that.
Between June 1st, 2017 and June 1st, 2018, George Clooney made $239 million. That's more money than any actor has ever. And most of that was because of the sale of Casamigos tequila. But my God, he was number one, followed by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who came in at number two with $124 million. Robert Downey Jr. rounded out the top three with $81 million. It's good to be George Clooney.
Sure.
Is essentially
in
what
a lot of different ways.
In all the ways,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Handsome, talented.
Sure.
Beautiful,
mm-hmm.
smart wife.
Yeah. It's annoying.
Adorable twins.
It's too much for one
house
person.
House in Lake Cuomo. Like, come on, George.
And people ask him, people bother asking him, hey, George, have you ever thought about getting into politics? Why would somebody leave the perfect life to get into that quagmire?
Right. You don't hear quagmire.
Ever.
Enough, really.
Really, ever.
Ever, yeah.
It's a legitimate word.
Except for Family Guy. That's it.
Exactly.
That's what I was expecting. One of you go, wait, what's quagmire have to do with it? No, it's a word that means like
yes,
getting
we
stuck
know.
In like, okay.
It's a 1950s word. We're good with it.
Sure.
Add that to whatever file you have for that.
Yeah. In case you missed it, they have some new names that are joining Top Gun Maverick. This is, of course, the sequel to Top Gun.
Sure. So soon?
So soon. By the way, opens July 12th, 2019. We knew that people like Val Kilmer, Miles Teller, Jennifer Connelly were in, but we just found out that John Hamm has been added.
All right.
Ed Harris has been added.
Love him, too.
And son of actor Bill Pullman, a gent called Lewis Pullman. So, all right. I mean, I was in anyway, right?
Yeah, that sounds good. Wow.
Looks like
you know who else
movie.
Is going to be in it?
No, who?
It's Tad Mom, bitch.
I forgot all about Tan Mom.
Like, Tan Mom's going to be in it.
I miss her.
Do you?
No, not at all.
Mm-mm. Some birthdays for you. Dean DeLeo, Julian Casablancas, Kobe Bryant, and friend of the show, Jay Moore. Happy birthday. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Ellen. And your drive home tomorrow morning at All New Kevin and Bean Show. The Machine, Burt Kreischer, joins us in studio. That man is straight crazy.
He is a jolt of energy that lasts for hours. Yes. It's amazing when he comes in.
Keep it 100 because it's Friday and we've got more passes for you for the Cabo Del Mar Festival. So that's all tomorrow morning. Well, tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.